has given me for this evening. I do covet your prayers. Lord willing, Sunday morning we'll complete the Song of Solomon. And I have absolutely no leadership at all on where to go in any book from here. And am I a little too loud out there? It seems like I may be a little bit up here, just a little, Brother Doug. And I'd ask you to be a praying that God's will would be done. He'd show us where He wants us to preach from. And I think studying through a book helps me. And you may not realize it now, but down the line, you'll understand that a book preached through line upon line and precept upon precept is probably some of the best preaching that you can get, and it'll help you to grow, give you a great working knowledge of that book, and a better understanding of it than just sporadic preaching here and there throughout the Bible. But Song of Solomon, chapter number 8 and verse number 13 tonight, let's stand together and we'll read that. Song of Solomon, chapter number 8 and verse number 13. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again this day for the goodness of God to us. Thank you, Father, for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that was shed there for the remission of our sin, for the life that you laid down that we might have life. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that you preserved for us and given to us to be a light and a lamp to us. And I pray that you'd take that Word tonight and use it to be a blessing to the people of God. Strengthen our hearts and help us to see the great fact, the great Bible truth that I want to try to preach on tonight. I pray that you'll give me some understanding and wisdom and power and liberty and help. And may the Word tonight, Lord, touch the hearts of your people. Speak to them, I pray, through the Word of God. Enlighten them with great understanding. I want to thank you publicly for letting me preach through the Song of Solomon. I pray now that you will bless these remaining verses to our hearts, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it. I don't want to go into a lengthy introduction tonight, but I do want to remind you that this is our Lord speaking here to the church. We have been left here below, and we have our dwelling place in the garden. That is the church of the living God. And I preached on Sunday on two thoughts of life in the garden. How are the kind of a life that you and I, as children of God, enjoy in the church? And I mentioned the fact that it is a blessed life, and that it is. There's not a greater life that's been afforded to humanity than the life that we have in the Lord, and then given the blessed privilege of serving Him in the house of God. And if you're saved tonight, you've been saved to serve. Each and every one of us, I believe, has our particular place in the body of the church. He's left no part undone, and He's left nobody out. God has placed us in the body as pleases Him, and He's given us a responsibility to serve Him in that place in the body. And it is a blessed, wonderful place. And then on Sunday night, I tried to preach a little while on the fact that it is a life that is well behaved. Brother Paul said that we ought to learn how to behave ourselves in the house of God. And I was thinking about this. I was walking to the church this evening that I believe conduct and character carry a far greater impact on those around us than our words do. And a life lived for the glory of God will do much more as a witness to those around us than anything that we have to offer with our lips. It's not a lip service in God's church. It is a life service. They were first called Christians at Antioch. And they were called that because people saw a noticeable difference in their life. And so if tonight, without any introduction, much introduction, if God would help me for a little while, I want to try to preach, if He'll give me the grace and the help and the liberty, on another part of that life in the church. God has left us to dwell in the garden. He's left us to work and to labor in the church. And I say tonight that it is a life that is bankrupt. We'll never do much for God until we are empty of ourselves. That's right. So many folks want to serve God in the energy of their own power, in self-righteousness and self-esteem. We want to serve Him in self-power, and we'll never get the job done. We're going to have to serve Him in a life that is bankrupt of self. Now, I think the Bible term for that is to be crucified. A crucified life. The fact that we ourselves die, that the Lord Jesus might live in us and through us to the glory and honor of God. Paul wrote this down in Romans 6:6. He said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now I say amen to that. If you got the idea that Adam is still alive in you, you have misunderstood the Bible. I realize that we're still in this body, and we're still in the flesh, and we're still prone to sin against God. But my friend, Adam is dead. There is no Adam nature in you and I. Now, I didn't say it wasn't possible to sin. There are sins of the flesh, and we're still prone to sin in the flesh. But that old man is crucified. Somebody said, preacher, do you have any more word for that? I'm glad you asked me. What about Paul? And I've quoted this verse and preached this verse and used this verse over and over again. But Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Paul said, I died in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he said, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And I tell you, friend, the life that if we're going to accomplish anything for God, we're going to have to die to ourselves. Our self-wants, our self-desires, it's going to have to be to live is Christ and to die is gain. We'll never accomplish the will of God as long as we're working to serve our own will. The Lord Himself said that I have come to do Thy will, O God. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I have come to do Thy will, O God. And until we chunk our will and stop having our way and start serving Him in His will and in God's way, we're not going to have the great accomplishments nor the victories that God wants you and I to have in our life. I want you to notice what the Lord said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 23 and 24. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If you're seeking to save what life you have, friend, you're going to wind up losing that life. Somebody said, where at, Brother Hall? I'm glad you asked. In a lake of fire. When death and hell shall be cast into a lake of fire. But he goes on to say, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now I'm glad, thank God, on September the 13th at 1970, at 10 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock, I lost my life and found the greatest life that I've ever been able to live, and that is the life that He gave me. He gave me a brand new life, a life to live and do the will of God, to fulfill the purpose in life that God has for me. You know, when I was lost, I walked aimlessly in this life without any kind of a purpose. I had absolutely no future. I had no hope. And by the way, you were the same way. But when God saved you and gave you a new life, He gave you a purpose. And that purpose is to please God, to walk by faith and not by sight, and to please God and to do the very will of God in your life. And friends, sometimes that will is not the easiest thing to do, and sometimes it is not the easiest thing to find. But I will tell you, in the will of God is the good way and the protected way and the provided way. Brother, if you ever find the will of God, get in the will of God, you better stay in it, for if you ever get out of it, you'll have to go right back to where you got out in order to get in it. Amen and amen. Amen. That is right. Amen. I read in John chapter number 12 and verses 24 and 25. Our Lord Himself said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Now I'm telling you, friend, the thought there is that he was getting ready to fall into the ground and die, that coming forth out of the ground, he might bring forth life to all that'll call upon his wonderful name. And isn't it a marvelous thing how that life springs out of death? It always does. We wonder why folks around us are not getting saved today. My friend, it's because there's not many dying Christians in the world. He is looking for people that are willing to sacrifice themselves, crucify themselves, and die out to self that others might live. I'm talking about having a burden and a love and a desire for those that are around us rather than fulfilling our own lusts and our own desires, having a desire to do the will of God and dying to self, dying to what we want to do, our daily little frivolous things that we do in life that amount to absolutely nothing, and get down to the brass tacks of serving God that He might be glorified and that sinners might ultimately be saved by the good grace of God. We are the most selfish generation that has ever been born. We have got more than any generation has ever had, and yet we want more than any generation has ever had, and we're selfish in that way, and it's led us as God's people to the point that we will not give ourselves, my friend, unto the work of God, that God may be glorified in it and that His work might be accomplished on this earth. Now, hang right with me. I'm about to get to the message. A bankrupt life, a life that is bankrupt. And if we're going to have that bankrupt life, there's some things we're going to have to resign. I'm talking about quitting. Somebody said, "Preacher, you're going to get to meddling." I sure hope so. I hope I can meddle and wake some of you up. Some of you nod your head up and down, say amen, oh me, or something. Get on the floor and pray, cry like a baby. I mean, pat your hands together, do something to help the preacher a little while. But there's some things that we're going to have to resign. That is, some things we're going to have to give up. One is our corrupt ways. Somebody said, "Oh, preacher, don't have any corrupt ways. Don't lie to yourself, because God already knows better." Listen what Paul said in Ephesians 4. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. There's the word that is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And Paul is saying there, anything that we enjoyed that was corrupt in our old life when God saved us, we better strive to put that thing off and put on the new man, which is created in the holiness and righteousness of Almighty God. Brother Ricky stuck his head in the office door Sunday night and said, I'm going to keep an eye on you. Said, "You're probably not going in there to get your taxes fixed." Said, "You're going up there to to celebrate with them boys from Indiana. How about news for you, friend? There ain't a snowball chance in August that Brother Hall is going back to that mess. When I got saved by the grace of God, I put the Indiana, whatever they might be, the Hurrying Hoosiers, the Wildcats, and the Sis Cats, and Tomcats, and all that mess behind me. Put off the old man, which is corrupt after deceitful lust, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. And there's some things, some corrupt things, that we're going to have to resign to put off if we are going to have a life that is bankrupt and empty of self. Then there's some things that are corrupt that we used to do that we're going to have to put behind us that we might do the things God wants us to do in our new life. You can't straddle the fence, friend. No, sir. You can't straddle that proverbial fence. There's some corrupt ways that we're going to have to put on. And he didn't specify. He just said the old man. There's a lot of things in our old life that are maybe not sinful in our eyes, but they're not convenient for us to do. There's a whole lot of things that are lawful, but they're not convenient. I want to say, friend, if it pricks your conscience what you're doing, you better lay that thing aside and get right with God. I wouldn't give a flip whatever it is. If it's bear hunting, squirrel hunting, fishing, trapping, or any other mess like that, buddy, you better put it behind you. If it pricks you in the conscience, it is an old thing in life and it is corrupt in the eyes of God. Or else God knows that it will eventually corrupt you. And I want to say there are some Jerichos in our life that if we do not put them behind us, they will eventually corrupt us in the life that we're living. Now, I don't know many people in here has got it, but I'm going to hit it a lick tonight because God laid it on my heart. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you throw the television out and put a computer in your house that is television equipped, you're headed for trouble. Somebody said, oh no, preacher, I can handle it. I'm here to tell you, the Bible said to abstain from everything that is has the appearance of evil. And he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm going to tell you what my daddy said. My daddy said after he got saved, he was a bad, bad drunk. And he said he was walking down by Hardy's Cafe in Scottsburg one day and said the devil said, why don't you just go in there and sit down on the bar stool and drink a Coke and prove to them guys in there that you can't go in without drinking liquor. My daddy said, I stood there a minute, thought that's a pretty good idea. I think I'm going to try that. But he said he took one step in the door and the Holy Ghost said, Truman, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And brother, there's no reason of putting something in our home or in our midst that will tempt us to go back on our vows that we've made to God. If you do, friend, you're headed for the possibility of trouble and problems in your life. That's right. That's right. I was a bad drunk and I ain't about to go somewhere and sit down in a bar and tempt God just to prove to my flesh that I don't want to drink. That'd be like a man that was a whoremonger going to a beauty contest. Somebody come in today and said, I forget who it was. Said, well, I believe Brother Frazier. Said, didn't take him long in the sunshine down at Kmart to come in dressed according to the weather. I said, amen, and I'm here to tell you, fellas, if you got a problem with that, if it's a real temptation to you for that, you better shun all the days that we spend in those places. I'm telling you, my friend, you can go to the Walmart today and sin against the Holy God if you're not right careful by the lust that we have within our own heart. And I'm not as spiritual as Bill McCorkle. No, I'm not going to be that foolish. But I'm simply saying anything that is sin, friend, that was corrupt in the old life, we better put it off and put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness with God. Resign. There ain't no need to going back to that mess. And don't tell me folks are not tempted to. You're a lying devil if you say you're not. That world will pull on you. Got a greater pull on people today than it's ever had. It's pulling. It's tugging. It's like a magnet. It'll draw you and work on you. I'm going to tell you, it'll create a storm without, and the devil will create a storm within, and if you're not careful, that storm within and that growing fire without will lead you right back into the old path you used to walk in.
Amen.
Amen. I want to be bankrupt of self, bankrupt of the world, bankrupt of the flesh, but filled up with God, and you never get filled with the Holy Ghost until you're empty of yourself. Amen. Nothing between me and my Savior, buddy. Not one thing. Is anybody hearing me tonight, or am I just knocking on hard wood? I'm going to say there's some things we're going to have to resign. We're going to have to resign. I'm talking about quit. One of them is corrupt ways. I know this will go over big. One of them is childish ways. Childish ways. We're not children anymore, folks. We don't have to have a sandbox to play in. Men, we don't have to have that. No, we don't. We're not little boys no more. We don't have to have little budden toys and little budden chinies. I passed a sign down in Tennessee the other day advertising some kind of cars that said, big boys' toys. Big boys' toys. Tell me the world don't know how to play on your flesh. Big boys' toys. I'm gonna tell you what Brother Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, Paul said, I put away childish things. And brother, I'm telling you, it is time that we put away our childish things and realize that we are men, friend, not some little baby, some little boy that has to have a ninny shoved in his mouth, but we are adult men. We don't have to be pacified all the time. We can take it like a man, take a licking, keep on ticking, and be a man in our Christian life. Amen. Have to be. And by the way, you can be a child, you can be have childish ways, my friend, and still be in a manly body.
Right.
You can have muscles like Mighty Joe Atlas and still have the mentality or the heart of a little boy. Does everything somebody says, does it disagrees with you, does it gall you and rob you in the wrong way? Are you offended at every little peep somebody says? Do you get upset, mad, and pout every time somebody says something contrary to what's going on in your little mind? I've got news for you. If you do, you have got a long way to go. I got over that mess a long time ago. I'm being honest. It don't bother me. If it did, if you think that I blow up sometimes, you ain't seen nothing yet, friend.
Right.
I'm going to tell you a time. Little kids fuss and fight. Adults ought to be able to get along with one another. But here, I'm going to show you that we're even more childish than they are. A child can fall out with another child, and 3 minutes later, the two children have done forgotten all about it. But mommy and daddy is still on the war path, buddy. Say amen or oh me right there. My poor little old baby. God, have mercy on your poor little baby. Let your poor little baby become a man. I won't charge you nothing for that, fellas. Amen. That's right. We ought to be men enough and women enough that every little thing that is said don't just tick us off or cause us to puff up and pout. You ever been around anybody like that? If you just say something contrary to them, they're like a child that's been scolded. Man, that lip will drop out. And they're puffed up. They don't want to talk to anybody. In fact, they won't talk to nobody. I'm telling you, it ought not to be that way, gentlemen.
Amen.
We ought to be men.
Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to say we need to put away careless ways. Careless ways.
Amen.
Resign some things. Careless ways. Ephesians 5:15 said, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That is, cautiously, watchful, with your eyes open, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know what that word redeeming means there? It means to improve on opportunity. What Paul is saying there, we better take the time that we have and improve on the opportunities that we've got to serve God. For time is running out. All you young folk, listen to Brother Hall. I've been serving God a while. Now I'm here to tell you, I look back at my life and my past, and oh my, I would to God that I'd have got saved when I was about 6 months old and jumped out of that baby bed, kicked the slats out of it, preached about an hour and a half, sung Amazing Grace, and went on serving God from that day forward. You better redeem the time. Improve on our opportunities to serve God. I'm telling you, we're living in the laziest hour of people that I have ever seen in my life when it comes to the service of God. We have got energy to do everything except the service of God. And we've got time to do everything except what God wants. Don't get heads up and down, boys and girls. Say amen or oh me. Now I'm here to tell you, our children know exactly that I'm telling it right tonight. We've got time to hunt, fish, trap, run, rogue, go, visit, here, there, run. But we can't find time to do one thing for God. We better redeem the time.
Yes, sir.
So if I didn't have anything else to do, if I was sitting at home doing nothing, I'd be down at the church doing something. If I run out of anything to do at the house, I'd be at the church doing something, gentlemen. But we're a little careless with our time. We're a little careless in our ways. Redeeming the time. Oh boy. Some things that we need to resign. I've got to hurry. I'm going to run out of time. I've probably already, y'all already run out of patience, I think. Some things we need to resign if we're going to be bankrupt. But there's some things that we need to remember as well. Some things that we need to remember. Brother Peter said, yea, in 2 Peter 1:13, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And Peter, one of the things that he stirred them up about to remain steadfast in their minds, because he said in verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have those things always in your remembrance. Peter wanted us to remember some things for him. And I'm afraid we have forgotten some things. And I'm not going to take long on these, but I'd like well to remember our former state. God help us to remember where we were when God found us. If you ever lose sight of the fact that you were once a sinner without God and without hope, if you forget, my friend, of the quagmire that God brought you out of, you're going to be miserable in your Christian life. There'll not be an ounce of joy. There'll not be an ounce of praise. There'll be no thanksgiving if we fail to remember where we were when God found us. I believe with all my heart that little old hunchback woman that Jesus straightened up is a running all over heaven tonight, a thanking God for straightening her back up. That little old woman with an issue of blood ain't stopped bowing and appraising Him yet for drying up that issue of blood. Old Zacchaeus that was up a tree ain't never stopped thanking God for what He done in his life. I'll tell you, Mary Magdalene hadn't forgot. Oh no, neither has his own mother and father forgotten what He done. I'll guarantee you that Nicodemus hadn't forgot. Peter hadn't forgot. James, Paul, John, all those hadn't forgotten where they were when God came along. I believe old Peter said, Lord, I remember the day I had the net in the water, and you said, forget the net and follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And hallelujah, I dropped the net in daddy's boat and went on out to serve God. I'm glad, thank God, that I can remember where I was when He found me. Somebody said, you got text for that? Absolutely. Brother Paul said in Ephesians 2:11-12, wherefore remember. Remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without God. Do you remember when you were without God? Son, I'm telling you, if you can, somebody ought to say amen, jump up, take a lap out the front door, hit the parking lot, up one of them trees out front, back down the tree, up another tree, up by McDonald's, around the traffic light, and back to the house of God, and shout and praise be unto His wonderful name every step of the way. If you can remember when your life was without God. And by the way, not only without God, without hope. You remember when you were hopeless, going to hell? Brother Peter said, remember when you were depraved, dead in sin, on your way to hell, and Jesus passed by your way like the Good Samaritan, got down in the ditch where you was at, poured in a little oil and wine, bound up your wounds, set you on His own feet, and carried you all the way to the house of God. Do you remember that? Hallelujah. If you forget from whence you've come, I remember them days stealing kerosene a gallon at a time to keep the house warm. Waking up in old junky automobiles with the sun beating in on me, didn't know where it had been all night. I remember that mess. I remember the phone, no hope. Without God in my life, thought folks down at the church house were a fool. Thought they were a bunch of old fogies. Thought they were foolish. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. The older I get, the better I remember those days. You know why? The older I get, the closer I am to checking out. And the more mindful I am that if I'd have died in that lost, depraved condition, I'd have been in hell tonight without God and without hope. I remember as a little 19-year-old boy crawling around in rice paddies in Vietnam, bullets shoving over my head and shoving a few back. I remember those days if I'd have died in a rice paddy like some of those men whose names I could mention. Get over there, and they're probably in hell tonight. And I'm here to tell you I could have been there, but a holy God. Woo! I said a holy God that saw fit through providence to bring me all the way back to a little old white block building up in Southburg, Indiana, where I could hear the gospel and come to Christ and be saved by the marvelous grace of God. I'll tell you why I act the way I'm acting. I remember those days when I was without God and without hope in my life. Amen. You remember? Remember! One night on my knees at an altar of prayer. Remember! Well, Jesus passed by and rescued me there. I called on His name while He was nigh. Whoa, what a wonderful change since Jesus passed by. You remember? If you want to be empty and bankrupt of you, remember how depraved you were when He came along and lifted you up and filled you full of God. Hallelujah. Without God, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants, didn't know nothing about God's promises. Strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. You need to remember that, friend, our former state. Now I'm going to say, secondly, you need to remember our faithful Savior. For the very next verse, in verse 13, said, but now. Whoopee dog! But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were a off, all made nigh by the blood. I'm thankful, hallelujah. Not only that I remember my former state, but I remember the faithfulness of my Savior that took an old rugged cross. Hallelujah, Brother Wayne, and laid it on His shoulder. And all the way up Calvary's Hill, He carried that old blood-stained cross that an old sinner like me, way down there over 1,900 years later, could get saved by the faith and what He died on that cross that day. He set His face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He set His face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. My friend, He never shirked His duty, never shirked His will, never shirked what God the Father wanted For it was foreordained that He should come into the world and as a lamb die upon the cross for our sins. Now I'm glad old John the Beloved on the Isle of Patmos said, I turned and saw a lamb has been slain from the foundation of the world. Son, he saw Him as God's eternal, a holy sacrifice, being faithful unto death that we might be saved. You better not ever forget those two things now.
Right.
He was faithful. Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And let me just rearrange that. Having loved His own who are in the world, He will love us unto the end. If He loved us enough that He gave His life, surely by Him He'll freely give you and all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Bless His wonderful name. Faithful. Amen. Don't forget the former state. Don't forget our faithful Savior. I'm going to tell you something else you better remember, friend, if you're going to live an empty life, bankrupt, you better remember your family situation. I just wrote this down. I preached it some years back. Psalm 128, verses 1, 2, and 3. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. I want you daddies to listen carefully. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be. Do y'all fear Him? My Bible says if you do, happy is that man. I tell you what the fear of the Lord will do. It'll keep you right.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Fearing God will prevent you from walking in those corrupt ways of the old man.
Amen. Amen.
Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife, note that word, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Remember what I said about that? As a vine, she needs somebody to prop her up, men. Thy children like olive plants around about the table. And here's what I wrote down as far as a note. I said, notice a responsibility placed on the man. Verse 4 said, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Now I'm here to tell you something, men. I've learned this. You better listen to what I'm telling you. Your hope and the situation in your home, that responsibility is on you. Buddy, if it ain't going right, don't blame nobody but you. God has not called your wife to run the home and be the head of that family. And son, if it's sour, if the relationship ain't right, if the children ain't right, if there's no obedience in your family, it's because you or I, one, have failed. It is not in the place of the women. You better remember that. That you'll never empty yourself and then let God fill you with Himself until you realize, friend, that you've got a family that you're responsible for to God.
Right.
I'd hate to stand in front of God and hear Him say, you never prayed one time for Him. You never set the right example for Him. You never influenced Him. You never corrected Him. You never caused Him to be obedient. You let Him run like little wild heathen. You never taught Him the Word of God. You never prayed with Him and prayed for Him. You never prayed with your wife and for your wife. Old Dr. John Waters, one of our teachers in school, him and his wife, she worked in the Christian school there in Lawrence. And every day at lunch, they'd depart into his office, and take their Bibles, and they'd read and pray together as a man and wife for that ministry. And I thought that was wonderful. I wonder how often we really pray for our family situation. Come on in the house, men. I wonder how much forethought we've got. They're not going to raise themselves. I thought about that little old boy that hit that ditch out there the other day and he's had on backwards. He's had nobody to tell him, son, you look like an idiot. Put your hat on right. And I'm going to hit this a lick. Some of you little girls running around with ball caps on. If you knew how stupid you look, you'd take it off. Thank you and you're welcome. We don't have a unisex movement, friend. I went into Kmart the other day and got something from some toothpaste. And I saw they had all the little Easter bunny, and I thought, how stupid. And would you believe in one of them, they had a Victorian doll. I had that dress all buttoned up all around her neck. And while I'm there, I want to hit this a lick. When we have that night in here for you ladies, you better not come in here with something with your top upper anatomy hanging out. Come on in the house now. Top, back, don't make no difference. You realize you can wear a dress, friend? I saw one in Reminisce last night, a woman, it was so big, a woman was standing in an automobile and you couldn't even see the automobile. It was a hoop skirt. But it can be that big and be low cut the top and still not be modest.
Right.
Now I'm telling you, I'm sick of these heifers running around all over town, friend, with their little old skimpy cuts on all the way down, the little V cuts down in the front. I'm fed up with that mess. Like Gene Mathias said, somebody needs to dress that heifer. And you understand what I'm saying? That's what they call dressing a cow, dressing a heifer. Somebody needs to dress that heifer, only not for slaughter. Somebody needs to put some clothes on some of them.
Amen.
Them two that was out here the other day, that boy almost hit. They got out of that automobile and one of them had on a pair of a blue jeans that was unbuckled at the top and a little old short thing on. And she got out, raised her arm up like that, and that thing pulled up and showed her. It was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen in my life. It looked like a prune that had been beaten black and blue and laid in a tanning booth to try to cover. I don't know what that woman had done to her belly. I just turned my back. I didn't say a thing, but I thought, lady, if all I had to show was that ugly, you ain't impressing me with your ugly gut, so put some clothes on. I ain't interested in looking at your old, dried, wrinkly-looking gut. That's right. Now, I've got one more point and I'm closing. 20 after 8. Some things we need to resign. Some things we need to remember. I want to say there's some things that we must refine. I'm talking about purifying it. Getting it right. Getting all the mess out of it. Now, come on in the house, boys and girls, just for a couple of minutes and we'll be done. We need to refine our prayer life. Luke 11:1, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. There ought to be some closet praying. Matthew 6:6 said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And according to verses 5 and 7, hypocrites love to be seen and heard praying. But I'm telling you, everybody listen now. Your spiritual life will rise or fall on your prayer life.
Amen.
You'll either learn to pray or you will die spiritually, one of the two.
Yes, sir.
Our Lord set the example. Early in the mornings, you found Him out yonder in a solitary place of praying. Late at night in Gethsemane, you found Him praying. When trouble was a-brewing, you found Him praying. When temptations come His way, you found Him praying. I'm saying without prayer life, friend, you will fail in your spiritual warfare.
Amen.
Lord, teach us to pray. I wonder if you men want to be taught to pray. I'm telling you, gentlemen, if you don't, you're going to find yourself hurting someday down the road. It is your link between you and God. It is a necessity. It's imperative.
Amen.
But when they said, Lord, teach us to pray, he didn't say, well, you really don't have to pray. I'll take care of everything for you. In one place, he even said, your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of. But I'm telling you, he still wants to hear your voice in prayer. He wants to talk to you, and he wants you to talk to him. You might say, oh, I'm getting along pretty good without praying. If you ask me, we're going down the tube without praying.
Amen. Amen.
Find the Old Testament boys are praying. But I'm afraid we're like Peter, James, and John. The Lord's alone praying, and we're asleep in Gethsemane. That's right. Closet praying. He said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When was the last time we got in that private place and prayed? Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I don't need to pray privately. We pray on Sunday morning. If all we ever pray is what's prayed here, it's no wonder the church is as cold as it is. I'm telling you, prayer will warm your heart. Prayer will stir your soul. Prayer will bless you and help you. Prayer will open your eyes to the blessings and the glories of cross. And Christ and Calvary. God, help us to learn to pray in that closet. Then clear praying. Not just closet praying, but clear praying. Matthew 6:7 said, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as a heathen do. For they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. What? Right beside a corridor and a fire escape. It went upstairs, and every morning, before daylight, you could hear a man, I could tell you his name, and some of you know him, but I ain't about to hear him out in that hall. Ah! Ah! And I'm going to tell you something else. He always made sure that everybody knew he was out there. Now, I say this to you other men. If all the praying we ever do is what we do on Saturday night, God help us.
Amen.
And clear praying. Be specific. Son, if there's sin in your life, tell God there's sin there. If you're cold and dead and dry, tell God you're cold and dead and dry. If you're without the power of God, tell Him you're without the power of God. If you've got rebellious family members, don't beat around the bush and, oh Lord, you know their heart and they're all good. And all that rebels! They're lost! My God, let's be specific. Quit beating around the bush and go to God and tell Him what's on our heart. Continual praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Now you better hear what I'm getting ready to say. Don't give up your prayer life. Can't live without it, gentlemen. There's just something about it. Don't ask me how to explain it. I can't. It's a supernatural work of a holy God. But buddy, I remember the year in Greenville, South Carolina, under them old pine trees. I've never gotten over that summer. It was prayer that changed my life. Prayer that helped me with the power of God. Prayer that gave me understanding. Prayer that got me through school. When I look at some of the little simple things back then that I prayed for to compare to some of the major things that developed in my life after that, I thought, how foolish did them little things seem? But I'm going to tell you, there are no little things and no big things with God.
Amen.
There's nothing too small to confront God with. Because I'm going to tell you, there's not a big thing and a little thing with Him. He don't know any big things. There's no barriers. There's no impossibilities with God. Don't give up praying. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Maybe we're faint-hearted because our prayer life has gone down the tube. And I think we need to refine our personal life.
I'm talking about our life around the home. You'll never be any more for God than what you are at home. Refine your personal life around the home on the job. Men on the job, you ought to be the best employee they got. That's right, you ought to be the best they got. Out in the public, our personal life, it does matter. Folks want to see something in us. They want to see somebody in us. They're not interested in our lip service. They've seen too many independent Baptists get up and brag about how spiritual and holy they are and preach on flyer neckties and wind up being whoremongers. That's right. Had a man stood right here and I sat right there on the front pew wearing a flyer necktie and he blowed out flyer neckties. And he turned out to be a whoremonger. I'm sick of preachers taking cheap shots because they don't know how to preach the Bible to people.
Right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. We better take care of our personal life, folks. That is right. And then I think our potential life, we better refine it. Somebody said, Preacher, I'm talking about the areas of life that God has been good enough to gift us in. There's some things some of you men can do I can't do. Well, and we ought to use it for God. You men that can build, you ought to be willing to come and build and help do things around the house of God. You men that know some electricity, and you men that can do, I've never learned none of that stuff. And I'll tell you, talking about having a lit-up preacher, I get into the electricity around here. You come Sunday morning, you have a real lit-up man of God. Lit up or dead, one of the two. These little old girls, look here. These little old girls that's got talents for playing these pianos and things, let them play them! Pray for them, Daddy. Pray for them, Mama. For God to bless them there. If God's giving them that talent, they've got a potential to use for God. How many of you in here know Ray Hart? You know his songs. You know Ray Hart was a great opera star. Had an opera contract. That's how good his voice was. But God saved old Ray Hart. They said, please sing for us in the opera. He said, I cannot do it. God saved me and I'm going to use that talent for Him.
Amen.
Wonderful. Somebody said, Preacher, I can't do anything. You just think you can't do something.
Right.
I've got news for you. I can do all things. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Right.
Yeah, you can do some things. Some of you folks that don't sing in the choir, get in the choir.
Amen.
Some of you folks that's got a talent to sing, get up here and practice some music.
Right.
Get something new on your heart and sing it and practice it. And get it in your soul with the power of God on you. Pray over the song. Somebody said, you mean pray over a song? If I was a singing in church, I'd pray over the song before I ever went to the church. If I was directing that choir, I'd pray over that choir. If I was leading the music here, I'd pray over that music. And I'm not talking about now lay me down to sleep. If I was playing these instruments, I'd pray over them. I'd get up here and spit on these guitars, buddy. Ask God to make them ring for God. Went up there at Miss Sandy's brother's church for Melvin's funeral the other day. Sunday had a big saxophone sitting up on that platform. Somebody said, Preacher, I don't like saxophones. You better read your Bible. Won't charge you another. Wind instruments are in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Stringed instruments. Wind instruments. Oh, I tell you what, if we raise up some of these kids in here that's got some talent, these little old boys beating and thumping on these guitars, I couldn't do it. Miss Hall, I'm glad she's got the place. It'd drive me crazy listening to them out there thumping and beating sometimes out of chord and off chord and out of key and everything. But I'm telling these boys, just keep on doing it! One of them called the house last night and wanted to know where Hook G was at. I said, hallelujah to God. I hope he finds it. Hook G, boys. Thumb and pinky. Do something. Take a talent. The potential life. Refine it. Some of you in here has got some real talents. You can use them for God. I'd refine them. And empty of self. Bankrupt self. And let God fill you and use you. Let's stand together.